W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the W-T-H. The W-T-H podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the W-T-H podcast.
Hello and welcome into another episode of the WTH podcast. My name is Nate Darling, and I am here to entertain you. Are you not entertained? So it's just me all week. Jason, of course, planned absence because he's had another baby. And Kareem, well, Kareem had travel and other issues and could not be here, so that's right, you get me. Just me. Coming up on the show today, we've got some cool stuff to talk about. Ooh, it's going to be hot for a heifer in Vermont. That's in small town news. The NFL draft versus some bachelorettes. Remember the very fine people? Well, we're going to reference those again. And Hollywood lost a directing legend in John Singleton. But before we get to all that, we have an update from Kareem's grievance from Monday's show. Headline, Howard University president bans residents from walking their dogs on campus. Kareem said, get your dog out. The Howard president said, yeah, get your dog out. In a report from The Undefeated, President Wayne A.I. Frederick wrote, we appreciate pet owners respecting our campus by not bringing pets onto the private areas. That was in an email to the Howard University family back on April 19th. It also said, Howard is a private institution nestled in the heart of an urban city, and we've shared a longstanding positive relationship with our evolving community for more than 150 years, which we look forward to continuing in the future. So, Kareem got his way. Must be nice to be Kareem, I guess. Although, don't look too deeply into that. I don't really know how much the dog walking on the Howard University campus really impacted Kareem's life, but we have a follow-up to a grievance from 2 days ago. So there you go. Moving on. So John Singleton passed away very, very unexpectedly. He was 51 years old. And he is a director. He was the youngest director nominated for an Oscar, which I did not realize. He was also the first African-American to be nominated for Best Director. He was 24 when he was nominated for Boys in the Hood, and John Singleton had a stroke. And a light has been extinguished in the film community. A light has been extinguished in the African-American community. And stroke takes out another person, and it's heartbreaking. Some of the reaction that came in on Twitter, Jordan Peele wrote, RIP John Singleton, so sad to hear. John was a brave artist and true inspiration. His vision changed everything. Samuel L. Jackson tweeted, mourning the loss of a collaborator and true friend, John Singleton. He blazed the trail for many young filmmakers, always remaining true to who he was and where he came from. RIP, brother. Gone way too soon. Heartbreaking. He had the stroke and he was on life support for a few days, and his family finally decided to disconnect him from life support on Monday, which was clearly the right thing for them to do in their lives and their decision. But it brings up another opportunity for us to have a conversation about stroke. And a stroke is something that has impacted my life. Both of my parents have had strokes. My mom had a huge, debilitating stroke in 2007. And while she did survive it, barely, she never regained her ability to speak. She never regained movement in some of her limbs. And when she passed away in 2013, it was after more debilitating, because when you have a stroke, your body is weakened, and then there's more weakening every time there's an incident or an incident. My dad had a stroke in the hospital while awaiting surgery when he went off blood thinners. I got a call saying, you need to get here because we may have to make a decision in a couple of days whether to take him off life support. A day later, I got a call saying he was sitting up and talking. It's unpredictable, and we don't really know what is going to happen with it. Now, despite the fact that he had that miraculous turnaround, he still spent weeks in a rehab facility, and it took him a very long time to get back a lot of the stuff that he had lost. And once you've had one, you are prone to having more. They call them micro strokes, I believe. So I think it's important to remind everybody about the symptoms of stroke so that you can recognize it when you either feel it yourself or you see it in someone else. And if you see it in anybody or in yourself, call 911 immediately and get to a medical facility, because there are things that they can do if you catch it early that may reduce the impact of it, depending on what type of stroke it is and where the blood clot is. Here are some of the symptoms: sudden numbness or weakness of face, arm, or leg, especially on one side of the body. Sudden confusion, trouble speaking or understanding. Sudden trouble seeing in one or both eyes. Sudden trouble walking, dizziness, loss of balance or coordination, or sudden severe headache with no known cause. Call 911 immediately if you observe any of these symptoms or if you have them yourself. It's not something to mess around with, because it can be the difference between life and death. The other thing you need to know about are the FAST signs of stroke. When you see somebody, so this is something you might spot when you're talking to somebody. FAST stands for face, arms, speech, and time. So the face, ask the person to smile. If one side of the face droops, that is a problem. Arms, ask the person to raise both arms. Does one arm drift downward? That is also a sign that a stroke is happening. Speech, ask the person to repeat a simple phrase. Is their speech slurred or strange? And the T is for time. And if you notice any of these signs, you call 911 immediately. It's so devastating. It is so devastating, and it happens to people of all ages. John Singleton was 51 years old. My mom, when she had her stroke, was in perfect health otherwise. She was healthy, and she was 60. It's not just something really old people have. So make yourself aware of it. Put it in the front part of your brain. It could make the difference between you or a relative or a loved one or even a complete stranger being able to lead a more normal life or having to be disconnected from life support. And if you're in doubt ever, just call 911. Get it checked. It's nothing to mess around with. So, rest in peace, John Singleton. And every time there's something with a stroke, I'm going to remind people to pay attention to the signs of stroke. Know what they are. Be aware of them so that you can do something if you happen to come across them. All right. Normally, this would be where everybody else would chime in. Jason would go, yeah. Cream would go, uh-huh. But I'm by myself, so it's time to move on. Headline, George Conway, by the way, is Kellyanne Conway's husband. She from the White House, has slammed Trump as, quote, deranged Donald, and a new nickname was born on social media. In President Trump's world, people may come and go, but nicknames are forever, whether they're crooked, crazy, lion, or little. It appears Trump has made it his personal mission to saddle numerous rivals over the year with unflattering monikers. seizing any opportunity to deploy epithets to the masses. Last week on Thursday, however, Trump found himself in the rather unusual position, in a war of words, receiving a nickname. In a series of early morning tweets, prolific Trump critic George Conway, the husband of White House counselor Kellyanne Conway, once again raged against the president. But instead of using Trump's name, Conway repeatedly called him Deranged Donald. Seemingly irked by a Washington Post story about the president promoting a widely debunked accusation that the UK helped the Obama administration spy on his 2016 campaign, Conway then turned the alliterative sobriquet into a hashtag. That's writing from the Washington Post. Nicely done. He tweeted, Deranged Donald is back at it again. Deranged Donald can do things like this, and it's not even top of the news because it gets lost beneath all of the other deranged things Deranged Donald does. Hashtag Deranged Donald. That was in response to a Washington Post tweet. It seems that George Conway wants to get the hashtag Deranged Donald trending, a producer at MSNBC pointed out. And so the internet went to work to make that happen. And it didn't take long for the hashtag to begin shooting up the list of Twitter trends, and it was eventually trending at number 2 worldwide. And by late Thursday, the hashtag had been mentioned hundreds of thousands of times. Now, as many celebrated the hashtag's success, others praised Conway for giving the internet a nickname for Trump that seemed like it would stick. Amy Siskind tweeted, hashtag Deranged Donald is still trending. Looks like Conway created a keeper. Trump has yet to directly address Conway's tweets and the hashtag, and the White House did not respond to a request for comments on late Thursday. The swiftness with which the hashtag took off marked yet another example of the president's critics adopting his tactics. In the Trump-era political discourse, it's become increasingly characterized by public figures, including elected officials on both sides, trading barbs on social media, lampooning each other whenever cameras are rolling, and calls for civility have been tossed aside in favor of a modified version of Michelle Obama's famed when they go low, we go high edict. So it's when we go low, they go low. So Deranged Donald, very interesting. In other news, the NFL draft was last Thursday, and sure, there were the picks, there was the controversy over Nick Bosa and his deleted tweets, but I think the real challenge with Nashville was bachelorette parties versus the NFL.
It's a beautiful bride-to-be right here. They're just having a great time, but the thing is, a lot of these bachelorette parties came not knowing that the NFL was here, so they had to change their plans up a little bit.
Ah, the sound of bachelorettes in Nashville. It's a sound we all know well, but this weekend, this is turning to this. Okay. As the NFL closes streets, pushes pedal taverns off Broadway, and brings in hundreds of thousands of football fans infiltrating bachelorette party headquarters.
And it just changes, like, the crowd, like, what you're here for. Like, I don't want to hang out with a bunch of football guys.
Nope.
Like, I'm good. I already have to watch football on Sundays. I don't need to see any more of that.
For the parties we talked to, the NFL draft came as a shock.
And did you realize that the NFL draft was going to be here?
No.
No idea, like mind blown when we landed.
We had no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
And I think my dad's very disappointed in me that I didn't know.
When did I start planning the draft? Because I feel like I just found out about this.
I found out 3 days ago and it made me want to cry.
Yeah, she found out and told me a few months ago and I said, well, we already booked it. We're not changing it.
So instead, they're coming up with plans.
We had to fight people off, so we'll do it again.
Navigating to Broadway, was it?
Yeah.
We had to get dropped off early and walk the rest of the way.
We're still planning on using Uber, and if it takes 2 hours, it takes 2 hours. It is what it is.
But in the end,
the person that's going to pay for this is my husband when I refuse to watch football the entire season. Like, no Super Bowl.
No.
Because you get married once.
Yep.
How often does the draft happen?
Every freaking year.
Every year.
Putting a little damper on these ladies' one last fling before the ring.
Like the worst.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just say this. I hate those two. So it's your husband's fault the NFL draft was in Nashville? It's his fault? So now you're not watching them? Whatever. Now, he knew what he was getting. He married you. Nashville, a huge place for bachelorette parties. Apparently, a lot of them didn't check to see if there was anything coming in when they were there. The ones that checked a few months ago, they're like, yeah, we found out. We made plans. The ones who like, ah, whatever. And now I'm mad. Meh. Well, too bad for you.
Those were very bad times.
Yeah, you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. Woo, indeed. So, that was the hubbub with the draft in Nashville. It's going to skip over the very fine people thing. You heard about Trump revisiting the Charlottesville stuff. So I'm going to skip over that to something a little bit more pleasant to talk about that you might be interested in. Burger King, we talked about the Impossible Whopper. They were test marketing it in around St. Louis. Well, after a successful trial run, Burger King has announced that they are going to be going nationwide with the Impossible Whopper. There we go. They're going to be rolling it out in all approximately 7,300 locations nationwide. They said our Impossible Whopper test in St. Louis went exceedingly well, and as a result, we plan to extend testing into markets in the very near future. They made waves back in April when we talked about it on the show, and it became the first fast food company thus far to begin selling the vegan burger. And the appeal of the Impossible Whopper for Burger King's meat-eating clientele is the patty's near identical taste and texture to actual meat. Allegedly. Now, Burger King's Impossible Whopper uses the Impossible Burger 2.0, which was released earlier this year, and which Impossible Foods, Inc. claims tastes even more identical to beef than the original. In a taste test, Burger King clientele couldn't tell the difference between the meat-based and the plant-based Whoppers. And the added appeal for the burger, the comparably low environmental footprint of plant-based foods over the beef industry. If Americans were to replace 50% of their beef with plant-based Impossible Foods, they could spare the Earth 35 million metric tons of carbon. That's according to the Impossible Foods 2018 sustainability report. So, I'll try it. What the heck? Why not? Why not go ahead and give the Impossible Burger a try? I mean, if you get it full whoppered out, you're not going to taste much meat anyway because there's so much bread and lettuce and mayo and everything else that's in a Whopper. You're like, ah, okay. So anyway, because I'm by myself and I wanted to give you guys shows, we're going to be a little bit shorter show. All week. All three shows are going to be a little bit shorter than normal. So I apologize, but you don't want to hear me going on and on and on. I do want to thank you for supporting the WTH podcast and subscribing on iTunes, on Spotify. If you want to go ahead on iTunes and give us a 5-star review, that would be fan-freaking-tastic. If you are a longtime listener of the Nate Darling Show, that feed's going to keep going, but if you could also subscribe to the WTH podcast and give us a 5-star review, that would be super helpful, and we do appreciate it. Also, another way you can support the show is by going to WTHpod.com and do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab. It doesn't cost you extra. It helps support the show, and we also have a Shop Target tab there as well. Same idea. So you can go ahead and shop Target online, either have it shipped to you or go pick it up right in the store and help support the WTH podcast at the same time. And I thank you in advance.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Let's, shall we? Let's go back to my home state of Vermont. This is from the free paper, 7 days. Hot for a heifer, Montpelier cops find cow and car. I apologize for the puns. It's not my writing. This was no ordinary moving violation. Cops responding to a parking complaint on Berry Street in Montpelier last Friday found two animals left unattended in a car. And it wasn't just Fido waiting for his owner to come back. There was a baby calf splayed on the back seat. Montpelier Police Sergeant Eric Nordenson said, I've been around 22 years, and I've not seen a cow in a car. I've seen goats, but never a cow. Of course, the calf was not alone. There was a bunny. That's right, a little bunny rabbit keeping the cow company. The responding officers were able to locate the owner, and it looks like they gave him a talking to about leaving your pets in a vehicle unattended. At no time were the animals in distress, though. In fact, the calf and rabbit both looked quite content in the photo snapped by one of the officers. But while it's a little bit amusing, as a reminder, the incident could have had graver consequences. High temperatures reached 70 degrees in Montpelier on April 19th. That is plenty warm enough to fatally overheat an animal trapped in an enclosed space. It's important to remember as days grow warmer. If you're in Sacramento like I am, we've already had 90 degrees, and that'll take it. To make the point, the cops posted a photo of the cow on a car on Facebook with a message urging drivers to leave your dogs or cows or bunnies at home so these beloved furry family members are not put at risk of heat-related health issues or worse. That post went viral, reaching 157,000 people, garnering 1,500 shares and 280 comments. If that's what it takes to save a couple of animals, then so be it, he said. We'll deal with the cows in the cars. And that is small town news. And that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH podcast. For new dad for the second time, Jason and Kareem the Traveler, I'm Nate Darling, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.